to the DeathStoreProds.com anime podcast. Again, just like yesterday, we are one man short, seeing as how Pushtron's audio card has crashed, so he cannot use any audio at all. So, once again, we got me, Dead, and Bovey. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, so, starting us off with last week with the big three. So, let's start with Naruto, I guess.
So. That's the one where I don't read the manga, but I do watch the anime, and it's in filler right now. I haven't watched this week's episode because it just came out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been an annoying filler so far.
Yeah. See, that's why I kind of stopped watching anime of manga that I read.
Like, the last episode was, like, the worst filler episode Naruto has ever come out with.
What
basically
happened?
Naruto has a dream that his clones turn against him.
Of course he does. Outstanding. Okay, so just looking over last week's chapter. So Gaara is fighting the Mizukage, the former Mizukage who's dead and resurrected by Kabuto. And the Mizukage pulls out his awesome water oil clone thing. So what he does is, it like condenses itself into like a really small mass, and then it's like filled with oil, so it can just explode at any random time and then reform itself back. So, okay. That's my phone.
Okay.
I think I just got a message from someone. And another one. Okay, so. Okay. So, sorry about that. Like I said, Gaara's fighting. Mizukage. He's doing his oil, water, clone thing. And then, I'm guessing Naruto shows up at some point, because it's been 2 weeks since I read this chapter. Yeah, so Gaara does awesome sand magic. And yeah, then Naruto shows up, takes him out, then we move on to next week's chapter. Then we move on to this week's chapter, which is chapter 558. Really should have pulled this up beforehand. Okay, so Naruto is off fighting a bunch of the Kages. A bunch of the resurrected people. There's this one guy. He was fighting. He was the guy who's all covered in bandages. We're not really sure. I don't really know who he is. God damn it. Okay, you know what? I just put my fucking phone on silent.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, this is fantastic content. Okay, so, and then, well, for this chapter, just Naruto going around wrecking house, fighting dudes. And it's pretty good. You know, it's just kind of standard Naruto fighting stuff. And, but they're still going on with the... Like, you remember a little while ago when there was someone going around in the camp where they were at, killing off people who were in the hospital tents? They're still going on about that. And it's still a problem. And it just kind of... Yeah, it's just kind of there. And I don't really like it. Like... They used that gag once, and then they should have just let it die right there. What do you think? Has that happened in the anime?
That has not happened in the anime yet, so sorry. Don't know much about that.
Okay. So, after that thrilling discussion, and Dr. Octagonopus blogs, let's move on to Bleach. So, last week's chapter 466, Renji is with What's-Her-Face, then he wishes What's-Her-Face beats her, and then the whole pocket dimension that they're in starts kind of collapsing onto itself because Yukio wants to kill them both. Then
yeah, because basically he wants it to be battled to death and Renji does not want to kill her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then there's that look that she gives her, gives him, and then she kills herself.
Yay!
Yeah,
of course, following the rule of no one can die as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless they fight Kenpachi.
Yes. Oh, God. Kenpachi was still the best. It was still just fucking fantastic. Just on me, they gave me the weak one. And then just, it's like, this grows like twice the size, then just turns into a scene from Cube and just dices them to pieces. Weak. Okay, moving on. Hitsugaya finds Yukio, goes to fight him, and then Yukio starts thinking he can beat him, but it doesn't work like that. Because it's Hitsugaya, dude. He's a fucking captain fighting a guy from Execution who uses a fucking PSP. Well, I guess this time now he's using the Power Glove.
And yeah, he does turn around Yukio's strategy really easily.
Yeah, it's just barely even a second thought. Yeah, just like, it was like, oh, this is coming. Okay, I'm gonna go stand behind him. And also manages to kind of fuck with his head a bit. Where he says, like, oh, it must have been hard, your parents abandoning you. And then he starts freaking the fuck out. And, yeah. So, what do you even think? So, probably already talked about this last week, but what do you think of this arc? Like, what's been happening so far?
I have absolutely loved this arc. I was wondering if they would be able to pull off a decent arc after making Ichigo lose his powers, but I have not been disappointed so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing that I'm looking forward to is, though, for this arc, is Ichigo actually fighting.
Yeah, we haven't seen enough of that.
Yeah, we have not seen any of that. We saw him do Getsuga Tenshuo, and then we saw him, like, slash, and then Getsuga Tenshuo, and that is it. And so Yukio has created all these confined little dimension things. But I think, like, this chapter, he gets pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm guessing those things are going to go away, and I'm just wondering, what's going to happen then? Is it just going to be, like, wall falls down, that anyone we didn't focus on during the fight has just, like, totally obliterated their dudes, and you just see Ichigo and Genjo just, like,
that's the guy. Still staring at each other.
Yeah, still staring at each other, but they're also, like, covered in blood, and, like, also, like, covered in each other's blood and their own blood. Ichigo's, like, cut in half. And Ichigo just kind of snaps and then goes full hollow.
See, I'm not exactly looking forward to see him going hollow, if that happens, because we don't even know if he's capable of it anymore.
Yeah, but that was, like, a big thing. You know, first Bankai, then Pulification. That's kind of been his shtick.
Yeah,
Go on.
He's come to the point where he's apparently surpassed the hollow now, so...
Uh-huh, but if he surpassed the hollow, then he should have absolute control over it.
Good point.
Like, that's the thing that, like, separated him from everyone else. You know, learn Bankai in 3 days, but they could have done that with their own thing, but no one else in the Soul Society is very likely to have been able to summon the mask. That's what makes him so much different from the other Soul Reavers.
Yeah, I guess you've got a point there.
So that was like a big character trait for him. So I doubt they're just gonna like take it away immediately because you know, hey, I got my powers back, but not all of them.
But looking at how powerful he is right now, I'm not sure he'll need it.
Of course he doesn't
go Bankai.
Of course he doesn't need it.
Kill everything.
Yes, but then what about an arc after this? You know, then he's gonna go Bankai, try to kill everything, but it's not gonna be able to kill everything, so he's gonna need to bring his mask back. And I'm just really hoping, like, he'd actually bring back the mask with the horns, because that mask was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty kick-ass.
Yeah. I want a hollow mask. And I'm being 100% serious. Like, not like, oh, I want to be able to do the hollow mask thing. I mean, I want, like, an actual physical mask that I can wear in the real world.
Okay, they sell those, you know.
Yeah, but I don't have any money. Remember? No. Yeah, like, I'm just... Like, I've been thinking of doing video content, but I don't like being on camera. So this could be a thing. Well, moving on. Now we got the fight between Ikkaku and the little faux hawk motherfucker. The guy with the jackpot knuckles or whatever the fuck he calls him.
It seems like Ikkaku, his zanpakuto has been broken and he still doesn't give a shit. It's like fist fight.
Yeah, of course, dude. He's fucking Ikkaku.
Yeah.
He's the luckiest fucker in the Soul Society.
Which is exactly why he wins.
Yes. Yeah, that's just... This guy's power, like, I am not sure exactly what it is. It's never really explained what his entire power is. Like, I've kind of got an idea of it. Like, you know, punches something and then it has, like, a chance of doing massive damage.
Yeah, like, basically he derives power from luck.
Yes, so, you know, he... It's essentially, like, in RPG terms, he has, like, you know, punches, he got, like, a 95% chance of proccing. you know, crit hit, but then after each hit, it like slowly goes down. The percentage of him being able to, like the percentage of him winning to the other guy winning. And yeah, this fight is cool. I really fucking love this fight.
Yeah, I just have to say one thing. Mm-hmm. There's no way the Lucky Knuckles can beat the Lucky Dance.
Yes, there's no way the Lucky Knuckles can beat that fucking fate. Can beat that fucking head, dude. You know that head is. Rumball head, you're lucky. That guy's head is seamless. It is spotless. I'm being 100% serious. You could use that. You could use his head as a mirror. It is that good. Just looking at this fight, looking over it again now. Even if he had, like, even with this jackpot knuckle thing that he has, even. If that thing gave him a 100% chance of winning every single time, he'd still be at a massive disadvantage. Because he only has one. You know, if you're going to fight Ikkaku, you gotta go in all guns blazing. You know, you gotta have, like, both your hands going, and possibly your feet, too. This guy, he just has one set of knuckles. So, I'm just... So, even if he had, like, the 100% chance of doing that, of, like... You know, crit hit procs for massive lightning damage or something. It would still just not really matter. And just all the ending of that fight. That was a good fucking ending.
Yeah.
Just Zinedine Zidane's him.
Ugh. I guess the only thing I can say about the anime is it's now finally exiting a truly stupid filler arc. Like, there's probably one episode of wrap-up left. Mm-hmm. And then the anime will finally be entering the Fullbring arc.
Whew. It's about fucking time. Man.
I know.
That's why I stopped watching the anime. God, fucking filler. I fucking hate filler.
Yeah,
what is the filler for this? Like, what arc? What are they doing in this fucking thing?
Okay, so basically, Ichigo temporarily has Shinigami powers, which he has lost, and then temporarily regained again, and then...
God damn it.
But basically what happened in this arc, which it's now pretty much over, is someone has created these things called Reigai, which are like Gigai, only they exist in Soul Society, so now there's evil copies of every single high-ranking... Shinigami. So all the captains, the vice captains, there's evil clones of them.
So wait, just let me get this straight. So the Gigai is a physical body that you can put spirits into.
Yes.
So then the Reigai
is a spiritual body designed to put mod souls into.
God damn it. Didn't they destroy every single mod soul except for Cone?
Well, apparently two others survived.
God, fucking shit.
They are two halves of the Shinigami who created Mod Souls, who decided to escape by becoming Mod Souls because they were about to arrest him and destroy all his work.
Okay, so they're going to destroy his work, so he became his work.
He became two different Mod Souls. Apparently that was in order to master his Zanpakuto, though, because his Zanpakuto has two different abilities. The one is the ability to disrupt space, and the other is the ability to absorb and then redirect attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So his female half has the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And his male half, who's very much like him, has the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Then the female half runs away and goes to Earth and meets Khan and ends up staying at Ichigo's place. Yeah, she meets Khan naked, so that's kind of funny.
Hmm, oh, yes, because nothing's funnier than trying to rape people. Because all Khan ever does.
She's actually kind of innocent with it, but at the same time, she thinks he's a total pervert. And then, other half, named Kage Rosa, decides to raise up this army of evil clones.
Oh, fucking hell. It's like Attack of the Clones all over again. Oh, god damn it. Okay. So, moving on to One Piece. So, again, I'm the only one who fucking reads this series at all. So, what's been happening so far is this guy called Vanderdecken, he has this ability where anything he touches with his hand, like if he touches something with his hand and then throws something with that hand, then whatever he throws automatically, like, heat seeks onto that target. He has one hand that's attached to the princess of Fishman Island. So then he decides to throw a fucking ship at her. And I'm talking like a regular ship. I'm talking about like a giant military-sized ship. So it would be roughly the size of the town I live in. Because the military in this universe are... they love their ships. So he threw that at her. Because he can. But then Hody, who's like this pirate fish man who, he's a pirate fish man who's like shark or something. He puts like a giant blade on his back and tries to kill Vanderdecken so that the ship would fall and crush Fishman Island to pieces. But Luffy has to stop this. So for the last two chapters, for last week's chapter, they have been setting up all the individual fights that's going to be happening between the members of Hody's crew and the members of the Straw Hat crew. So, and this is kind of the first time we've ever seen these characters really let loose since the break. Like, last year, they had a one-month break in the series, and then when they came back, the series had advanced 2 years. Everyone had been off doing their own thing. So for 2 years, they've been learning and mastering new abilities. Like, Nami, the navigator, she got a new weather stick, and now she can, like, take out an entire squadron of dudes by waving it and causing them all to, like, be electrocuted. Chopper, who's the doctor, who's also a reindeer, he had this thing called the Rumble Ball, which gave him a bunch of different skills. Like, there was Guard Point, he was able to take more damage. Brain Point, which made him smarter. Jump Point, which made him leap higher. Arm Point, which made him stronger. And then like, I think Monster, like, a Strong Point or something that made him, like, a huge fucking gorilla monster. But now he has a new one, which, with more abilities. And so he's fighting this dude who... is like goes underground and just does nothing but tunnel. Well, I think that's who he's fighting anyway. I'm loading the chapter up right now. So Usopp, who is the sharpshooter on the crew, he only uses a slingshot, and now before he used pachinko balls, now he's using seeds. He's fighting the dude underground, and then Chopper is fighting this other big ass motherfucker. And then Zoro is using 3 swords to fight some other dude who uses, like, 7 swords or something.
B-sama?
Burn?
B-sama?
B-sama? No, he's not fighting B. But that would be so much better. Just a fishman version of B who just does horrible raps with terrible sea puns in them. That would be good. That would be very good. Yes, yeah, it's just... last few chapters been setting up the fights, and having Luffy get prepared to fight Hody in the water. But that's problematic, because Luffy and a lot of people who are in this universe who have powers, they have their powers from these things called devil fruits. And if you eat a devil fruit, you get powers, but you lose your ability to swim. So as soon as you go into water, all your strength is sapped and you just sink to the bottom.
Okay, that's problematic.
Yes, but Luffy is in a bubble right now. Because they have this weird stuff with resin, which, like, in the specific atmospheres can cause, like, can create, like, really, like, powerful protective layer against outside pressure. So he's inside that, fighting Hody while riding on the back of the Prince of Fishman Island. I was about to say Seaman Island. And, yeah, but we all know where this is going. You know, Luffy's gonna fight, win, then they're all gonna drink and party, and then they're gonna run away. But it's gonna be a cool fight, because we finally get to see everyone fucking unleash. Like, we got to see Franky, who, before the break, he was just a dude in a thong with a terrible Hawaiian shirt that he looked like he pulled it from Far Cry, and a big-ass blue hair curl. Now, he's like 10 feet tall, he has a fucking drill mounted on his forehead, he's got giant fucking arms that are possibly filled with so many guns that they would make a battleship from the Marine Corps look like a fucking pea shooter. And I'm just really looking forward to seeing all these characters, all the guys from the Straw Hat Crew, just unleash hell on everything. And there's also Prophecy, which is kind of weird, because there's a character in Fishman Island who can see into the future, essentially. She's a psychic. And she prophesied that the Straw Hat Crew would destroy Fishman Island. So we gotta wonder what's gonna be happening there. Like, is it gonna be actually destroying Fishman Island, or is it gonna be, like, the metaphorical destruction of Fishman Island to build a new Fishman Island, which is better and more accepting of humans? But that's for another time. So, moving on. What else have you been reading? What else have you been reading? Watching?
Sorry, couple series, and then one other thing it's not reading or watching, but I have to mention it because it's very much anime related and very cool. But anyways, so Blood Sea, I've only watched the first episode of that because, you know, I'd go to my anime club, we do the one shots. You know, I like it. Basically, I'm not gonna remember any character names, but I can give you a basic synopsis of the plot. So the main character, when we first see her, one of the guys compared her to Mary Poppins. She's exceptionally happy. She works at a shrine. She has a nice life with people who care about her, a nice school life. She seems to be very aloof, always running late for things.
I feel like something terrible is going to happen to her.
And then after school, she goes home, and her father says, okay, well, you know, you have to go do this cleansing thing. Hands her a sword. And then she goes and fights this statue demon thing and kills it, and it's horribly bloody, and she's, like, totally a heartless killer. And she's right back to her happy, aloof self.
Huh. Well, that's a thing.
So, yeah, good thing about it is I like how much contrast there is between her in normal life and her when she's fighting monster demon things.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool. There's a good amount of blood and gore in it.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I didn't like is there's such a long introduction to the episode where you see all about her life, but you don't really find out what these monster things she's fighting are.
Hmm. Yeah, that could be.
She just sort of goes and kills them.
Hmm. Well, that is problematic.
Another series, one I've talked about before, but one I'm actually going to be watching more continually now. Watched it as a one-shot. Now the group has decided to continue watching it. But that means I'm watching it a once every 2 week basis.
Mm-hmm.
But Usagi Drop, which is probably the only slice of life anime that I really enjoy.
Mm.
It's that one where the guy adopts his aunt, basically.
Huh.
So, you know, episode 2 was interesting.
So wait a minute.
His grandfather died. Well, his grandfather died. He had a very young daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And no one in the family wanted to take her, so he's taken her into his care.
Of course he has.
So yeah, we get into episode 2. This is where we actually get to start seeing his life with her around, which is pretty funny because, you know, he buys her own futon. She always winds up sleeping on his. you know, we see how his work life's affected because he used to hang out with his work friends, work late, work hard like most Japanese people. But now he's got to go pick her up from daycare. So the one time he's late and then he's like, well, I can't do that anymore. And so now we get to see him, you know, sort of lessening his presence at work to increase his presence in her life. Yeah, it's interesting and it's funny and it's, you know, somewhat adorable.
Hmm.
And yeah, you know, there's some good laughing parts in there.
Mm-hmm.
I know I mentioned this before, but basically it's supposedly the author's autobiography. She is the little girl.
Oh. Okay, I was gonna say, like, wait. So her nephew adopted her?
Apparently.
Huh.
Something along those lines. Although, at this point in the anime, they're saying it's not permanent. I haven't read anything. I haven't seen any further than that. We'll see.
Okay. Anything else?
Not an actual anime. There's a card game I must mention. I don't know if you've heard of it. Weiss Schwarz.
Never heard of it.
All right. Well, what's cool about this card game is what the decks are.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, each deck is a different anime.
Oh, that sounds cool.
For example, I have a fairy tale deck. So I've got characters like Natsu, Gray, Elfman, Happy, Lucy, Gazgiel. I don't have Erza in my deck, unfortunately.
Do you have Tiger Lily?
No Tiger Lily.
Oh, fucker.
Unfortunately. Although Tiger Lily is pretty awesome.
I hear Tiger Lily's the Black Lotus of Warshish.
But yeah, it's a really fun game, and basically the different decks are different anime. The one issue is if you're going to get the official cards, like if you're going to get real cards, basically, mm-hmm. it costs about $30 per deck.
Wow.
And that's because there's only one release in North America. If you're going to get any other one, you have to get it in Japanese, imported from Japan.
Hmm.
And then you have to find a site that has translations, and then you get a card sleeve, and you have to put in a card sleeve and put a translation in.
Mm-hmm.
What I've got right now isn't a real deck. What mine is, it's images with the translations on them. Basically printed them off, put them inside card sleeves with some, at the place I go from anime meetups, people leave magic cards behind a lot. So I've got magic cards giving actual substance to these.
Huh.
So the one thing I thought you would definitely find cool
mm-hmm.
is I'm looking at some of the trial decks that Heart of the Cards has translated so far.
Mm-hmm.
Persona 3 and Persona 4.
Oh. Okay, what's this game called and how do you spell it?
Weiss Schwarz. You would spell that W-E-I... We'll say S because it's in German, despite the fact it's a Japanese game. So the actual letter's S form, but it's S.
Mm-hmm.
And then S-C-H-W-A-R-Z.
Okay. Okay, yes. Okay, this is cool. So, how does the structure of this game work?
Like, all right, so basically, the gameplay is really interesting because pretty much everything that gives you an advantage also gives you a disadvantage, and vice versa. For example, the more you take damage, the higher level characters you can bring out. However, if your character does too much damage to your opponent, not only does that let your opponent bring out bigger characters, but basically, if you get a climax card while doing your damage counter, because you do your damage counter with cards
mm-hmm.
from your deck, if you get a climax card, it cancels out all the damage. So there are some cards that you can set up to do like 50 damage, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's only 50 cards in a deck. Guaranteed that your opponent's going to pick out a climax card and cancel all the damage you just did.
Oh,
so it's really pointless to do that.
Oh, that is a bitch. Is there any like analog for this? Like, can you describe it as like a different kind of game that, like, is it anything like Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh or anything like that?
I haven't played much Magic to be able to tell you. It's very character oriented, is what I can say. It is kind of similar to Yu-Gi-Oh. You have front row, back row characters, three in the front, two in the back. Your front row is your main fighting row. Your back row is your support row. And so, yeah, it's very oriented on the characters that you use. I'm not sure if I can really compare it to much else. Yeah, it's got a good gameplay setup. All your counting's done with your cards. Cards are reshuffled, though.
Okay, cool. So, that about it for you?
Other than, you know, Soul Eater. Lots of Soul Eater. I've been watching lots of Soul Eater.
Yeah, Soul Eater's good. I read the manga for it.
I just got up to the point where Maka, Kid, and Blackstar have done their first successful team resonance.
I'm not sure like where that actually happens in the manga, but I know that at a certain point, like after they fight Arachne and take her out, like the anime just kind of breaks off from the manga.
Okay, I'll keep an eye out for that then.
Like in the manga right now, I think like they're looking for the Azura. I think that's what it's called, the Madness. And
right.
And Maka, she did her like soul resonance thing. I try to find it, and it's on the moon. So they're going to be going to the moon at some point, I'm guessing.
That'll be a fucked up moon to visit.
That'll kind of fucked up. And Krona's back. Have you met Krona?
Right now she's at Shibuzen, and the newly revived Medusa is trying to get her to spy, but she hasn't actually done any spying yet. Actually, she has. She has done the one thing against Dr. Stein.
Okay, well, with the manga, what's going on? What happened with that was, you know, Krona did the spying thing, and then she just kind of disappeared for a while, and then Medusa and her came back, and she started attacking the Russian weapon, some Russian weapon meisters, and she created like this giant ball of the black blood. And I don't think we're really sure what's happened there. Also, I think Noah. Who's going to be a major character later on, I think he's kind of fucked off for now. And Justin, who's a priest, who's always wearing earbuds.
He's one of the Death Scythe, yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of become a major villain.
Oh.
Yeah, spoilers.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and there's also a dude he's also a dude who runs around with a teddy bear head on. He's always wearing a teddy bear mask. Like a giant one, and he has this ability where, like, if you cut him, he can put himself back together.
So what, Gino from Afro Samurai?
Yeah, essentially.
Is this what we're dealing with?
Yeah, only this bear head is crazy. You know, it's not. It actually is just like a bear mascot head, but it has weird rings around all its eyes, and it has like its teeth bared, and they're all, you know, little bear zing, and they're all just kind of his teeth out and just growling at people all the time. But he just kind of walks. He just kind of walks around with the bear head on. But we've never seen what he actually looks like.
All right.
Yeah, that's been pretty cool. So, that about it?
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay. So, for me, I started reading Iris Zero, which is a series that Pudge mentioned last time. And, yeah, it's good. It's really cool. It's pretty cool because the main character, who is the Iris Zero, like people in this universe, they have the Iris power. They're born with eye powers. It's called Irises, and people without them are called Iris Zeros. But I'm just wondering, is he actually an Iris Zero? Because the series is essentially like a detective kind of series. What usually happens is something goes down, and then the little girl the girl whose name escapes me, she ends up going to the Iris Zero and says, "Hey, I need your help." Because he's usually the one who's qualified to help, because her ability is find the person who's qualified to help in a certain situation. It's usually him. And then he always ends up figuring out someone's iris, you know, just by looking at them, and then doing a whole bunch of other shit, and ends up, like, solving these really weird mysteries that no one has been able to figure out. in like a matter of minutes. So I'm just wondering, does he have an iris? Is his iris ability like perception or something? You know, he can see things that others can't. So it is...
That seems likely, but I haven't actually read it or anything, so...
Yeah, you should have a look at it. It's really good. Okay, also, Super Dreadnought Girl 4946. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It is bizarre, to say the least. So, main crux of the show is there's this kid who goes to high school, and his like motto in life is never make girls cry. Then one day, he meets a girl who's 50 meters tall. Like, literally, she is a giant who is then used by the government to fight aliens. And, yeah, it's essentially, you know, what if it's, you know, it's like, it's essentially the thing is, like, what if Godzilla was actually a high school student? But, like, the girl whose name I think is Maka, too. Maka, she is, like... Yeah, she is, like, a couple hundred years old. She's from feudal Japan. She had, like, a weird alien blob thing, like, crawl inside her and make her grow to 50 meters. Or should I say 49 meters, 46 centimeters. Because that is, like, the first thing. It's like, holy crap, it must be 50 meters. Like, I'm only 49 meters and 46 centimeters. Because, like, she doesn't want to be too tall. Because that'd be weird. And it's actually really good. It's got a nice mix of like kind of the slice of life stuff with high school and all that. And then every once in a while it'll just jump over to holy fuck, there's a giant alien crap coming to destroy us all. We need to send this high school student to go fight it. And it's weird because we're not really sure. It's been a while since I've read this. Like the last chapter came out, I think, like a little under a year ago. And just kind of, it's just kind of weird. I'm not sure if, because what happened before was it was revealed that Maka, she, like, her sustenance is human souls. Like, she eats human souls to stay alive.
Okay.
And to get more powerful. So what happens is this kid, I forget his name, just let me pull up the thing on manga updates. Tobita, he says, like, you know, they're going to fight, but she's not strong enough. He's like, all right, you can eat my soul, but just make sure you spit it back out. So what she does is she actually swallows him, because that's how they eat. She like, swallows him whole, gets super powerful, beats the crap out of him, then pukes him back up, and he's still alive. And no one knows why. So there's probably something special about him that we don't really know yet. Or we have known, I just forgot about it, but that's kind of cool. And there are a whole bunch of other characters in this thing. Like, there's one girl called Montana, who's like an American spy sent to find Mana. That's her name, Mana. Who's sent to find Mana, who is classified as a Category D. And then she ends up, like, trying to steal Tobita, and everything goes sideways, and then... Because... Oh, yeah. Another thing. Mana keeps constantly claiming that she is Tobita's wife. Because she actually did, like, fall in love with him or something. And, yeah, the series is actually really good. It's pretty funny. It's got decent enough giant monster action. Check it out. Okay. Also, been reading a lot of Freezing. Yeah, For the Halibut and Vexed have been releasing a bunch of scans for the latest chapters. And have you seen Freezing at all or any form?
No.
Okay, yeah, you should. Yeah, just for further reference, just actually take a look at some of these series that we mentioned on here. Like, I'll probably look at some of the series you talked about. You should definitely look at some of the series with me and when Pudge gets back to some of the stuff he's talking about. So we can actually have some discussion on these different series. So, well, with Freezing, well, it's a Korean manga, so I guess it's called a manhwa. And what it's about is there's these extra-dimensional creatures called Nova that are, like, coming around, coming into Earth and then, like, fucking everything up. And the only people who can stop them are high school girls with pieces of Nova implanted into their backs that give them the ability to summon giant weapons and use, like, super speed to fight them. And they are paired up with boys who are a year younger than them, who have the ability, who have this ability called freezing, which essentially locks the movement of anyone caught in their freezing field. And so the story focuses on this guy, Aoi Kazuya. He is the younger brother of Aoi Kazuha, who was his older sister, who was like the greatest Pandora who ever lived. Yeah, they're called Pandoras. And so he goes to a school for, he goes to this place called East Genetics, which trains Pandoras and Limiters. And he ends up being paired with Bridget L. Satellizer, who is called the Untouchable Queen. She is like the best among the first year students, and he ends up becoming her limiter. But here's a weird thing. For a limiter to be able to use freezing, they have to like, some of the stigmata, which are the things that are put in their backs, have to be like taken and transferred from the Pandora to the limiter. He can use the limit, he can use the freezing ability without having done any of that. Yeah, they explain this, like, Kazuha, she had like this thing called like a stigmata perfect body, which essentially made it so that she could take stigmata and use it to the fullest potential that they're possibly given without any possible threat to her, I think. But Kazuha also has this type of body. So we're probably going to learn some stuff about them. I think their dad is like the leader of the Pandora Research Project or something. So that's probably a thing. And what they're doing now is these things called E-Pandoras, or Evolution Pandoras, where they take abilities, where like they take what they've learned from regular Pandoras, and then find a way to make just any person available to be, any person who wants to be able to become a Pandora, because normally you have to have like a specific genetic code, but with the research with E-Pandoras, they are hoping to just, like, people can like line up and then like in a couple hours become Pandoras. So that can only
That's exactly what the world needs.
Yes. More emotionally unstable sociopaths with superpowers. Because, like I said, I think yesterday in the comic podcast, high school kids in Japan are fucking insane.
They all want to kill you.
Yes. Like, this is actually a thing that happened in the anime for this. So, I think it happened in the manga too. Like, so what happened was, there's this one Pandora who has like 7 limiters because they're all her like man whores, and so she comes up to Kazuya and says, "Hey," says, "Hey, I'll grant you the pleasure of being a limiter." And he's like, "Yeah, I don't really wanna." So then Satellizer shows up, and she and this girl strips Satellizer down buck naked, then starts taking pictures and tries to have her limiters rape her. Fucking high school students. That's the thing. Yeah, these kids are in high school. These kids are in fucking high school, dude. They are like 15, 16, 17 years old. And one of them already has a harem of dudes who she tries to get to rape someone who disrespects her. Fucking hell.
I talk about everyone in your high school trying to kill you. Rosario plus vampire.
Yes, that is fucking thing with the people and the monsters and lion. It's been a while since I've read any Rosario Vampire.
It's gotten really good, actually.
Yeah, I know. Like, the last thing I saw, I think, was they were fighting Kalua.
Oh, man. It's gotten so good since then.
Yeah, definitely gonna have to catch up on that. Fuck, I'm so behind. I fell behind on the World Goblin. I fell behind on Beelzebub. And fall behind on dogs.
Yeah, but basically, Tsukune's pretty much a full-fledged vampire now.
Oh, fucking awesome. Okay, yeah. I'm going to be catching up with that for next time. Okay. And also been reading Witch Hunter. So, Witch Hunter, what's been going on recently is that it has been a flashback showing the fall of the Byron Empire since, I think, Xing took over. Yes, there were 3 brothers, Jing, Yue, and some other guy whose name escapes me. And they were all, like, sons of the Emperor, and then one day, one of them would be chosen by the Great White Dragon to become the next Emperor of the Byron Empire. And Yue was chosen. Unfortunately, he could not care less about being Emperor. He did not want to be the fucking Emperor. But the other two brothers, Jing and whatever his other name was, they wanted to be emperors, but one of them wanted to be, like, whole tyrannical, you know, rule over the land with an iron fist. The other one wanted, like, socioeconomic reform so we could make the world, so we could make the empire a better place. So what happens is, the third brother, he gets, like, banished. But then Yue and Jing, they switch places. So Jing is then put on the throne and claims to be Yue. Meanwhile, Yue, who's off being Jing, has joined the Witch Hunters. And so the plot, the flashback is from the point where Jing becomes emperor up to the point now where Jing has gone completely insane and has, like, destroyed, like, the empire is completely destroyed and he's just a fucking lunatic working with the witches. So what happened so far is an assassin tries to kill him because she claims that he ordered the Shadow Raven clan to take out her clan. But he didn't. His dad did, but he didn't know that yet. So then he ends up, like, falling in love with her, and then she gets murdered, and then he calls the royal funeral for her, and everyone's double-crossing everyone. And it's been good. It's been real good. I really love Witch Hunter. You should really read it. Okay, moving on. What else do we have? Beelzebub or Witch Hunter? Oh, yes! Chapter 14 of Do-Da-Da-Da! It's finally out. It was picked up by Manga Curse. And where we left off last in the manga was Celtie was chasing down the girl who has a insane crush on the guy who has the crush on the head.
Right.
Whose name's escaped me. And so, what's the main guy's name?
Can't remember. Ryugamine.
Yes, Ryugamine. So the Black Rider was hunting her down. Because this girl had gotten plastic surgery on her face to make it look like Silty's head, and she also got scars surgically put around her neck to make it look like someone had transplanted Silty's head onto someone's body. And so Silty thinks that it is actually her head. And meanwhile, the brother of the scientist lady, who is fucking crazy, he just wants to get the head back because he's madly in love with it. So what happens is Ryugamine takes her back to his apartment and then just tries to keep her safe until she wakes up and then get her home so Black Rider doesn't come back. Meanwhile, his friend, who name also escapes me, he's the leader of the Yellow Guys.
Kida Masaomi.
That, Kido. He does not believe a single fucking word that he says. Like, oh sure, of course the Black Rider showed up. It's like, she wakes up and we just kind of end the chapter right there. And I'm glad Do-Da-Da-Da's back in manga form, because I missed it. I really missed it.
Yeah, it's been really interesting because of the fact that it started off as an anime before it was a manga.
Mm-hmm.
Although I know there are some differences. I haven't read the whole thing in the manga. From what I have read, I've already seen differences.
Mm-hmm.
Between them.
Yeah, there are
definitely. I'm just wondering which one's truer to the novel, which makes me want to read the novel.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's got to be the manga the show. How many books there actually are in the Do-Da-Da-Da series?
How many?
Yeah, I'm guessing it's got to be more than 13 episodes of anime worth.
I thought it was just the one novel.
Huh, what's up? It's a light novel series.
Light novel series, okay.
Yes, yeah, so there are 10 of them. Yeah, so I'm guessing that the manga is more closer to the anime than...
Yeah.
More closer to the novels than the anime.
Not 13 episodes, though. It's 24.
What is?
Yeah, it's 24 episodes.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, 24. Oh, sorry, I'm just thinking. Cause...
Actually, technically 25. There's a bonus episode. It's not actually related to the original story, but it's an awesome bonus episode.
Yeah. Well, according to the wiki page, there are 26 episodes.
Another
yeah, the 24 bonus episodes, episode. Yeah, the 24 episodes plus two episodes only available on the DVD.
I saw the one bonus episode, but I didn't know there was a 26.
Yeah, and... From the looks of this, it looks like the manga came first.
Really?
Yeah,
is it just taking a long time to be English translated?
Yeah, like light novels. They came out and they started coming out in 2004 and are still going on. They are still releasing Durarara novels. Then the manga started in 2009. Then the anime started 2010.
All right. Well, I guess the manga is just going to be continuing, and the anime won't be. Although they might.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. Like, they always leave the shit so fucking ambiguous. It's like they leave everything open for a sequel series, and then possibly never give you a sequel series.
I mean, up to and including Anri and Izaya declaring war upon each other.
Yes, just fucking. Dude! God damn it! Yeah, and then this is just another thing for me, but I like emotional closure in the series. But we are given, there are three relationships in the Durarara anime. There is Ryugamine and Ryugamine and Anri. Then there's Kida and what's her face? Then Celtie and the Doctor Kid.
And two of those get resolved.
Two of those get resolved, and then the one with the main fucking character is just left completely open. You know, and because the entire fucking thing, everyone is saying, like, go after this girl, you know, oh, you never have your chance, you don't do this thing. Then he never fucking does it. You know, it's leading up to, they build up to the point where you'd think that he would, like, confess to her or something and just say, oh no, I can't, I have a fucking parasite sword in my hand. But no, it's just, oh, I might have liked your other friend while standing on a rooftop. Fucking hell. Yeah, the same kind of thing happened with the High School of the Dead anime and with the first run of the Inuyasha anime. I really loved the first run of the Inuyasha anime. Like, it was one of the earliest actual animes that I watched from beginning to end. And the ending of that anime was the ending of a different episode, but just with a pan and a cross so that they could get the best shot of Inuyasha looking confidently up into the sky. Like, the ending of most arcs. Baga gets away, they don't have any of the Shikon Jewel, they don't have all the Shikon Jewel shards yet, none of the relationships are resolved, because they got one between Moroku and Sango, and then they got one between Kagome and Inuyasha. None of those are resolved. You know, they have, like, the kind of maybe they'll do something, but it just ends. It just fucking ends, and I'm just like, GAH!
Yeah, I must say, the one thing I've had a challenge with Inuyasha as far as the anime is finding a download for subbed.
Mm-hmm.
I even looked into buying the DVDs, and, they don't have Japanese on the DVDs.
Wow, really?
Really, really. And I found one download for subbed. It's like 20 gigabytes because it's the entire series dual audio.
Wow.
Actually, it might be more than that. I just remember it's huge. It's bigger than I can fit right now.
Yeah, and then they actually, I think they did do a sequel series, like Inuyasha Final Act or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, but I just ended up reading the manga. Yes, and there's also, in the manga, a character called Byakuya. As soon as I read that, I was like, wait, what? You know, but he is, it's kind of weird, because I spent all this time learning about the one Byakuya, who was, like, the hard-ass motherfucker, who was, like, law above all else, even though his dying wife told him not to. Do whatever he's trying to do. But then, Byakuya in the anime, in the Inuyasha manga, is just like this kind of carefree demon thing that Naraku created who uses origami as weapons. So he's kind of like Sai.
How not to be taken seriously?
Pardon?
How not to be taken seriously? Use origami as a weapon.
Yes, like, you actually see him flying around in the sky on a paper crane. And not even, like, one of those really intricate ones that actually kind of looks like a crane. Like, the ones you learn how to make in, like, grade 6.
Those look like cranes. I made some of those.
I made fucking hundreds of those things, but it doesn't look anything like a real crane. Real cranes have feet.
You know what my issue is now? I just can't find paper that squares.
Well, just use rectangular paper, then fold one quarter down so it makes a square, then cut the bottom of it.
Aren't we a genius?
Try it. But yeah, Deuteron is back. It's pretty awesome. Can't wait for more of it. Then, what else we got? To Love Rue Darkness. Have you seen any of the To Love Rue stuff?
No.
Goddamn, dude. And you're in an anime society. You're in an anime club.
Yeah, we only have time for so many series a week. And, you know, we get through a series, we go to something new. Like, we finished Breakblade. Okay, now we're going to watch Usagi Drop.
Okay, well, do some on your free time then, man. You know, remember, you're on a podcast where you talk about anime and manga. Oh, well. So, To Love Rue Darkness is a sequel series to To Love Rue, which is all about this guy named Rito, who is living in a house with three alien princesses. One of them who he's supposed to marry. So, basic crux of the show is, the first series, Rito is just kind of an average dude, but then he meets Lala, a princess from the planet Devilouk. And he is then told that he has to marry her, or her father will destroy the Earth. Yeah, so Lala is, you know, kind of standard anime character. She's cute with big boobs. Yep. But she is also, has a tail. She flies. She has living clothes. And she also invents weird shit that always goes horribly wrong. For a few chapters, she turns Rito into a girl. Yes. So then in To Love Rue Darkness, this is more of a focus on Golden Darkness, who is an assassin from the first series who was sent to kill Rito, couldn't go through with it because he's the main character. And so her big thing is she has the ability of transform. She can make her hair into any weapon ever and fuck shit up with it. And so To Love Rue Darkness, it focuses on, like, her story because someone is, like, coming back to claim her or something, and she has to, like, make a choice between living with the humans and living with Rito's sister, who she's kind of forming a relationship with, and going back into space to be a badass space assassin. But then we have Momo, who is Lala's younger sister, who is doing everything she can to make Rito a harem. Because since he's going to be the king of a fucking planet, he needs a harem, I guess. And so she is trying to do everything she can to make a harem, and she is including everybody, like anyone Rito goes to school with, anyone he's friends with, even his younger sister.
That's just wrong.
Yes, because this is Japan, ladies and gentlemen. And they are not afraid of some wincest. Which is not the Winchester slash fiction that you creepy people write in your basements. Which I should not be talking about because I'm in a fucking basement right now. Okay, so, yeah, things been, To Love Rue Darkness has been good. I've been liking it. It's been consistently funny and it's had some pretty good intrigue because we have this other person who also has the ability to transform, and she is saying that she is Golden Darkness's younger sister. But Golden Darkness, who they call Yami, has no idea who she is or who her master is, and everything is going, and like, there's even a point where one of the characters, who is a ghost, leaves her physical body to go inside her mind. Then once she gets in there, she sees some kind of messed up stuff, but like, I don't think she actually sees who her master is, but she might have, and then it was like freaked her out a lot, because I think she started screaming, like, got kicked out by Yami's sister. And it's pretty cool. It's weird slice of life stuff mixed with weird sci-fi stuff mixed with weird incest stuff. And it's highly recommended. Finally, last thing I've read, Sanka Rhea. I think I have talked about this in the show before. Have you heard anything of Sanka Rhea?
Not much, no.
Okay, so Sankaraya, I think I talked before I keep this brief. There's this guy, I'll look up his name right now. Furia, who loves zombies. Understandable. So he is a big fan of zombies, and he found this book that supposedly contains a recipe for making zombies. So one day, this girl, I think her name is Rio, she goes up to the abandoned hotel where he does all his zombie research, and then starts freaking out because she hates her life. And so they start hanging out and start talking, and then she starts helping out with his research, trying to resurrect his cat. And then it works.
Hooray!
But she is not there when it happens. And the main ingredient in the zombie formula is poison. Like a certain kind of plant that is poison. So what happens is she steals a vial of it and then drinks it. Then she wakes up the next morning completely fine. Then her
zombie?
Yes, then her dad kills her. He pushes her off. He makes her fall off a cliff. And then she gets impaled in a giant tree. But then she just stands right back up and starts walking to Morphudia, who then fixes her up, starts learning some stuff about zombies, and then tries to help her adjust to a normal life as a zombie. This is Japanese take on zombies, so it is not like the sham. It's not like the shambolic just
right.
Things like it's essentially just immortality. But if she does not eat a certain kind of plant, like every few days, then she will turn into like a kind of zombie. And there's also her body is still dying, so it still has like rigor mortis setting in. So she has to keep moving and keep muscles massaged so they don't like stiffen up. And she doesn't heal from any wounds, so the giant like hole in her stomach is still there, only just stitched up.
So. Owen from Torchwood. Those basic rules?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, if anyone hasn't watched Torchwood, why I oughta.
But, spoilers!
But yeah, this is an anime podcast, so why the fuck are we talking about Torchwood? And it's kind of cool, because they are, like, developing a romantic relationship, because she has been kind of like an idol. She's like the high school idol, but not actual idol, but just... Like, oh, every guy wants to get with her, every guy wants to be with her, every girl wants to be her. But then she ends up living with Furia, and they start developing a relationship together. And this runs afoul of Furia's cousin. Because, yeah, Japan. Wincest.
Not to mention, you know, zombies.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of cool. It's a different take on like the standard kind of zombie stuff that we've seen out of Japan, because the main zombie stuff I've seen out of Japan has been zombie loan, zombie dust, zombie powder. I mean, High School of the Dead and what was it? Kuroiwa Zombie Desuka, which have all had different kind of takes on the whole kind of zombie thing, with a zombie loan being like illegal resurrected people. Zombie powder being like having the zombie powder and being able to bring yourself back and being able to be immortal, or I guess that's kind of zombie thing. In High School of the Dead of being straight up Romero style zombies. And then in Kuroiwa, it just essentially you have superpowers. Like the zombie in that universe, he has the limiter abilities. Like you know how the body has limits to keep itself from getting destroyed.
Right.
Being a zombie turns off those limiters, so he essentially has super strength. He can also like put body parts back on. If he gets cut in half, he can just be put back together again. Everything just fits together right fine. But if he goes in the sun for too long, he dries up. So this is a very different take on zombies that I am actually really open to. It's really cool. It's got some nice slice of life stuff, and it's got some pretty good like drama in it going on, because the plant that has been keeping Rhea, that's her name. To keeping Rhea sane, has started to not work as much. Like, there have been a couple times where she actually almost eats Furia.
But, so, basically, she's working up a resistance to it, so...
Yes, she's working up a resistance to the zombiness, but she is still able to fight back her thing. Like, they, like in the most recent chapter, it said that she devolved into the crazed eater phase, which is essentially just one step above the phase. But she managed to completely go back to, like a sane phase at the time. And everyone's just like, what the fuck happened? Like, we know what happened and we learned about it in the most recent chapter, but I won't spoil it. You'll figure it out if you read it. But yeah, it's kind of cool because they're doing all this shit, but on top of it all, there's that layer of science to it. Like, the kind of comic science where, because Fruity's grandpa is the one who wrote that book. And he and his research had not been perfected yet. He does not know really what most of the zombiness is. Like, he knows how to bring people back and keep them themselves for a little while, but he doesn't know how to keep them that way forever. So this is kind of cool for me. Like, as a scientist, it's kind of cool watching these guys, like, try to figure out what is going on with this person, and, like, experimenting, I guess, which is what I hope is going to be happening soon. Going to be experimenting, and then everything's going to go awesomeness. But it's kind of always where it's going, but I dig it. Check it out. And yeah, that's about it for what I've been reading. Well, we still managed to get over an hour of this, so that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's going to do it for this week. Yeah, because we don't really have much else to talk about, do we?
Nope, not really.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully Punch Tom will be back next time we record this. But as always, tune in tomorrow with myself and Jack. We're going to be talking about some movies. And then tune in 2 weeks from now on the... Fuck, what date is that? On the 17th, where we'll start this shit all over again. Well, until then, I've been Dead.
I'm Bovi1.
We'll see you next time. I'm